We continue our learning. We are in Avodah Zarah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Beis, the last Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Basic introduction to the Mishnah is about kashering, and the general principle of kashering is what we call kibolo kach polto. The way a kli, a vessel, absorbs a taste into the walls of the vessel, that's the way we purge it. So if something is used in the fire, that's the way we kasher it in fire. If it's used with hot boiling water, we kasher with boiling water. If it's something that's just used with cold, so then we can rinse it off, and that's sufficient. This is derived from the laws of Klei Midyan, when Am Yisrael conquered the people of Midyan, as we read in Sefer Bamidbar, so they had many of their utensils and they had to kasher it. So Elazar spoke to everybody and told everybody how to kasher everything. Everything cold, everything that's passed through the fire, kasher through the fire, and it's passed through water, so you kasher with water, etc. So the Mishnah here says like this: Halokeach klei tashmish ben agoy, person who buys utensils from a non-Jew, and we want to know how to kasher them. Esh darko lahatbil yatbil. The first halacha says if it's something that the derech is to lahatbil, sounds like putting in a tevila in a mikvah. If the derech is to immerse it in a mikvah, that's what we're supposed to do. So it sounds like it's saying if you have something that can be made fit for use through what going into the mikvah. How's that so? Well, there is one halacha, of course, that is that there's a concept of when you purchase something from a non-Jew, it has go through process of being converted, even a kli, and therefore we put it in just like a non-Jew to convert has to go into a mikvah. So also we have tevilas kelim that before we speak about kashering, there's the concept of tevila in a mikvah in order to be, when it's purchased from a non-Jew. But there's also the concept of kashering, which is something that was used for cold foods and don't get therefore it's not hot and doesn't get absorbed. No taste gets absorbed into the walls of the kli, so if you immerse it in a mikvah, then it becomes usable. There's nothing wrong with just putting in a mikvah, and that takes care of it. And other Rishonim say that's not what the Kavanah of the Mishnah here is. The Mishnah here, there are two halachos. There's a halacha of putting a kli in a mikvah, and that has to be done when you purchase that from a non-Jew, and if it's something that's cold, so it was used for cold, you can rinse it off, and that would be sufficient. So the two separate halachos. Can't just put in a mikvah, and it takes care of both things. You put in the mikvah is one halacha, and rinsing it off with cold water is another halacha to remove anything that was forbidden, you don't have to use it, boil it up, do hagalah and hot, or use fire, because it wasn't used for that, and therefore anything that was absorbed into the walls, we assume is taken care of when it's rinsed off. So that's the first halacha, yatbil. Don't take the word literally, tevila, like in a mikvah. It means you should rinse it off in cold water. Lehagil, if you have utensils that were used for hagalah, meaning in boiling water, yagil. So that's leikash. You have a pot, so then it's used usually with boiling water inside, so then you boil it up to the top, and that's it. You have forks, knives, etc. So those you put, forks, spoons, you put them into the hot water, and if they're used to stir a hot soup, so then that's the way you're going to kasher them. Hagalah, the language of the Shorosh Gimel Ayin Lamed, really means to cast out. So that's what we're doing. We're casting out whatever is absorbed into the walls of the fork, into the walls of the pot, by doing so. This has to be, before we kasher, we have to remove anything, any rust that's there, any dirt that's there, if we clean it, and then we can kasher it. That's something that needs to be done by Hagalah, because Hagalah, just all it does is kibolo kach polto. What it does is it purges whatever taste absorbed into the walls, the non-kosher taste, comes out, but it doesn't remove, if there's dirt, whatever it is, it doesn't take care of that, as opposed to using purging something with fire, so that burns it right on the spot, and then there's no need to clean it off and remove anything from the surface in advance of it. So if we're using Hagalah, whatever cleans the Hagalah has to be cleaned first, and then we can go through the Hagalah process. L'labein ba'ur, if you have a kli that's usually used to in a fire, so y'labein ba'ur, so go, this is what we call libun. We go through the process of putting it through the fire. You have a grill, let's say, or a spit. So that's, we'll see that a little bit later in the Mishnah. So how do they absorb whatever food that was aser, non-kosher food? It was through fire. So if you want to kasher it, you have to put it in the fire until you see sparks and nitzotzos that are coming out, or let's say the outer layer of the metal comes off. That is that's how, and the Bartunur tells you, Malabanam Ba'ur, Achush Nitzotzus and Menatnez Behen, till if sparks fly off, Achakach, Matbilon, Mehen Mutar. Then, what is being Matbilon? Matbilon means so different. One opinion is that after we kasher things, we usually put it in cold water, but Matbilon here probably means that I put it in the mikvah, which means, okay, I have to kasher it, but then, since it came from a non-Jew, it has to go through the conversion process too, and you put it in a mikvah. Then the Mishnah says, Hashvud v'ha'askala milabnon ba'ur. Comes to a spit or a grill, you put them in the fire. Now, why do I need the Mishnah to tell me this? It says, we said already, if that's the way it's used, kibola kafhoto, the way it's absorbed into the walls, that's the way you purge it. So it sounds like I already know that. So the reason why we need to know, mention spits and grills is because there is an opinion that says, the Mishnah in Zvachim, in the 11th parak, that says, oh, you don't need for spits and grills, for a shvud and askala, hagala is sufficient. You don't need to use. You don't need to use ash. You don't need to use libun. So the chiddush of the Mishnah here is no. You need to do libun. How do we reconcile that with the Mishnah in Zvachim? So Mishnah is Zvachim is about Karbonos, is speaking about Noser. What's Noser? Noser is left over from the carbon. You have pots that were used and had Karbonos inside. So those absorbed taste and it could be a spit, and it could be a grill, as we're speaking about, and it was meat from a carbon. So after depending on the carbon, after a day or two, it becomes Noser. You're not allowed to eat it. So there we have the right to use the lesser form of kasher and Haggalah, as opposed to Libra, because that was permitted to begin with. That's what we call a heterabala. What was absorbed into the walls, something permitted. It only became prohibited after a couple of days, after you waited. Our Mishnah is speaking about something that's what we call isurabala, something that was prohibited to begin with. Non-kosher food was absorbed into the walls. That needs liban to the very beginning. One practical application of this is, how do we treat chametz? Again, chametz is absorbed into the walls. On the one hand, it may be isurabala, because chametz is called chametz all year, but it's a davar ha'aser. On the other hand, it's really not. The rest of the year, chametz, it may be called chametz. We would call it bread, let's say. It's really not prohibited. And that may make a difference in as to how we are supposed to kasher our ovens, our stoves, etc., from chametz, depending on what status it has. So that's what Mishnah says. If it's a shvud, a spit, an askala in fire, then you need libun because it's something that was prohibited from the beginning, the food that was absorbed into the walls. Hasakin, if you have a knife, shafa v'hi tahora. Mishnah here says, it can, how do you kasher the knife? So here it says you rub it literally, you polish it, and then it becomes tahor. What does that mean? So the Bartanur says, shafa noatza bikarka kasher eser palim. This is what we call ni'itza. You stick it into the ground 10 times, because of the friction, it's going to kasher it. What can I use the knife for? Va'ochel batzonein. Then I can use it for cold. I can't use it for hot. If you use a stone, a grindstone, let's say, on top of it, so then va'ochel ba'afilu roschin, says the Bartunura, and that would be acceptable. Of course, if it's something that we receive from a non-Jew, it has to go into the mikveh. You need tevila as well. Just an interesting point on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Es shedarko lahatpil." If it's the normal manner to, let's say, use this cup, this wine cup, let's say, with cold water, so then I can rinse it off with cold water, and that's sufficient. We have to be strict to do hagala on our on the bechers for Pesach. But really, meikar adin, it's sufficient to do tevila. What it means here is to rinse it off. Now, based on the language of the Mishnah, it sounds like, what do you mean, shedarko? Darko sounds like, if I normally use this cup, let's say, for cold, so then it's sufficient to rinse it off with cold water to kasher. That sounds like, and if I used it once in a while for hot, it's not a big deal. And I don't need to use to do hagala, boiling water, because the rov tashmisho, what we call the way utility for the majority of the time, is with cold. And some posts can really say that would be true. And others say, no, we should be strict. If that's not the way to understand the Mishnah, the halacha is, even if you know, if you use something for hot, even a couple of times, so then it would need hagala. It would not be sufficient to do hadacha, to rinse it off. This concludes Maseches Avodah Zarah. We begin Maseches Avos. very different type of Masechta, Masechas Avos. Why is it called Avos? So these are the teachings of the great Tanaim. In fact, the Tanaim tell us some of the things that were most common, that they used to say all the time, the words of Musar, ethics, Derech Eretz, Midos, etc. So Avos is a reference to, according to some, the Avos are great forefathers, those of great Tanaim, great rabbis, who taught us proper Derech Eretz, proper Midos. And others say, no, Avos means like it means in Bava Kamma, Arba Avos Nezikin, Avos or Avos Malachos in Shabbos. What are Avos? They're categories. They're Ikarim, primary categories. So maybe that's what it means. For when it comes to wisdom, comes to performance of mitzvos, we need to know these general categories of how to act in order to properly live as a Ben and a Bat Torah. The Mishnah begins with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, with the tradition in the Torah that we have. The Mishnah begins with Tolos HaMasorah from Moshe Rabbeinu to Leanche Knesset Sagadola. The last Nevi'im we have were Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and they were members of the Anche Knesset Sagadola. Why do we have to begin with Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? According to Medrash Yeshurim, to tell you that this Masechta, even though it speaks about Derech Eretz, nonetheless, this is like Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything that we have here is tradition, Ishmi Pibish, from the Nevi'im all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Av HaNevi'im. And we have to follow this like we have to follow the Torah. The Anche Knesset HaGdola was a body of, it started with Nevi'im, and the last three Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Chachamim, which was established by Ezra HaSofer, and he who gathered the people of Yerushalayim when he came up from Babel, which we read in Nehemiah Perichest to Perich Yud, and they made many takanos, gedolos, chashuvos, for the Chizuk HaTorah, and for Emunah and Hashem. Amongst the members of the Anche Knesset HaGdola, besides Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, the last Nevi'im, or Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Nehemiah, Esmina, Nehemiah ben Chachalia, Mordechai, Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, and many other Chacham. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Samach Tes says, why were they called the Knesset HaGdola? What's Gedola? Because they brought back the crown of Hashem to the way it used to be. In what way? Well, Moshe, we know, used the phrase in Devarim Yud, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanara. That was the description of Hashem, which we say in our davening. Comes Yirmiyahu and says in Yirmiyahu, Paraklam and Beis, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, but there's no row. Why? Because after all, the non-Jews are in the Hashem's Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. Where is Noah? Where's his awesomeness? We don't see that. So he took out Noah. So we were left with Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. And then Daniel came and saw that the fact that we were subjugated by the non-Jews, where's Hashem's Gevurah? So he didn't say Gibor. So all he had was Gadol. He left out that, and he left Noah in, but he says Hagadol Vahanara, as we read in Daniel Perek Test. Came the Anche Knesset HaGdola and says, no, just the opposite. That is Hashem's Gevurah. The Gevurah and the Mora and the fear, the awesomeness of Hashem is the fact that we survive. We're an eternal people amongst all of the nations of the world. We still exist, and therefore Hakel Hagadol Hagibur Vahanara. How many members were in the Anche Knesset HaGdola? 120, according to the Gemara, the Bavli in Megillah Yud Zayin, and according to the Yerushalmi in Megillah Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, only 85. It lasted from about 200 years from until the days of Shimon HaTzadik, who was the last of the members of Anche Knesset HaGdola, as we will see in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins of those Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Moshe Kibel Torah Sinai. Moshe accepted the entire Torah from Sinai. Not that we shouldn't think for a moment that there was no, that Moshe only received Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebaal Peh was given altogether when Hashem appeared to him on Har Sinai. This is based on the Pesukim in Vayikra Perech Avav. It says, Ela Hachukim Vahamishpatim Mahataros Asher Nasan Hashem Beino Uvein Bnei Yisrael Bahar Sinai Biad Moshe. So we have in this Pasuk Chukim Mishpatim in Toros. What are Chukim? Those are the Midrashas, Midrashay Halacha. Mishpatim, those are the dinim, the regular halachos. And toros is plural. What does that mean? Two toros. One bichsav, one baal peh. And the pasuk ends, Bahar Sinai b'ad Moshe. So it sounds like the Torah, the entire Torah, both the Torah Shabbal Peh, Torah Shabbichsav, the written Torah, and the Torah Shabbat, the oral Torah, were given, and all the halachos and their details, to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So therefore, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, indeed, the entire Torah was given at Har Sinai, including Torah Shabbal Peh. Umisara Yehoshua, and he transmitted this to Yehoshua. Pasuk in Shmos Lamed Gimel in the Parshas Kitzitza, Umishoso Yehoshua bin Nun Nar Lo Yamish Mitoch Oel. He was constantly with Moshe, studying for Moshe, and therefore he was zochet to this Yerusha. As we learn about Mimre Chav Zayin, that Hashem told Moshe to take Yehoshua, Ish Asher Ruach Bo V'Samachta Es Yadcha Olav V'Nasata Mehodcha Olav. So Yehoshua bin Nun, we read in Devarim Lamed Dalet as well, Malei Ruach Chachma Ki Samach Moshe Yadav Olav. Moshe placed his stance upon him. He was his prized Talmud, and Bnei Yisrael followed Yehoshua. The Torah was transmitted to Yehoshua. V'Yehoshua L'Zikenim. Yehoshua transmitted to the Zikenim who followed him. We read this in Yehoshua Perach of Dalet, Vayavod Yisrael Es Hashem Kol Yemei Yehoshua. The Jewish people served Hashem all the days of Yehoshua, V'Chol Yemei HaZikenim Asher He'erichu Yomim Achari Yehoshua. And all the days of Zikenim who were the leaders after Yehoshua. One of the first of the Zikenim we know is one of the Shoftim, Osniel ben Kenaz. And Eli HaKohen was one of the last. We assume the Shoftim were included in the Zikanim. Uzikanim Linavim, and then a Zikanim then transmitted the Torah, this oral, the written Torah, the oral Torah, to the Nevi'im. And the days of the Nevi'im, that started from the days of Shmuel HaNavi all the way to the days of Chagai Zechar Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im. Unevi'im Misaru Alache Knesset HaGadolah. And they, the Nevi'im, transmitted this Torah, the oral Torah, to from the time of the beginning of Bayis Sheni from the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, and Haim and the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah Amru Shlosh Devarim. So now we begin, after giving a little bit of the history of the transmission of the Oral Torah, we begin to teach what the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah taught, members of that body, and then of course many of the Zugos, the Tanoim, who followed. Number one, Haim Amru Shlosh Dvarim, number one, and this has to do with the judges and the Chachamim, but it's something we certainly could apply to everybody. When we're speaking about judging, we certainly have to judge people favorably, give people the benefit of the doubt. So much of what we learn, what has to do with judges, certainly could apply to the layperson. Hevu Mesunim Adim. Number one is, be patient, be deliberate when it comes to making a judge. Don't give a psak halacha so carefully. We have to investigate and make sure that it's not something that we do in such a rash fashion. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, in Ayin Hei Ki Akach Mo'ed Ani Misharim Eshpot, which the Medrash teaches us, what do you mean? If I take time in order to investigate things, says David HaMelech, with Shikal Hadas, to try to balance things, then Meisharim Eshpot, then I will judge favorably and in a straightforward manner and honestly. So that's number one, Hevu Mesunim Adin. Don't be quick to judge, be deliberate in judgment. Number two, Vehemidu Talmidim Harbe. We should have many, many students. As opposed to Rav Gamliel, who we may remember from Brachos Chav Chesem and Aleph, who said, any Talmud Shein Tocho Kivaru Ali Kones Lebes HaMedish, any Talmud who's inside doesn't match his outside should not enter. No, we follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Everyone's welcome to the Beis HaMedish. And not like Beis Shammai, who said, Ali Beis Shammai was strict and says, you only, you know, Beis Shammai, Shammai was very strict there. Shammai was strict and his school, his academy was strict. Person should only teach someone who's humble, who's wise, etc. Rather, we follow Beis Hillel. L'chol Adam Yishaneh. You teach everybody. Sharei Poshim Hayu B'Yisrael V'Niskarvu L'Talmud Torah V'Yotzu Mehem Tzadikim Chasidim Ukshirim. Says the Avos Rabbi Nassan, that we follow Beis Hillel. There are many Jews who were sinful Jews, and yet, because we taught them, they became close to Torah, and many righteous people, many pious people, kosher people, came from those people. And not only that, why is it also important to be Mami Talmid Hamarei, not to be so strict with who we're going to teach and we're not going to teach? We should teach many people, because the Medrash says Koheles Rabbah, and that is, the more Talmidim we have, the better chance, the greater probability we'll have people who will continue to learn Torah and teach Torah, because the Medrash says that generally speaking, if you have 10 or 1,000 people who end up coming in to learn Tanakh, Tanakh, maybe you'll have 100 who walk out who will know it and will continue to study it. For Mishnah, out of 1,000 people, maybe 10 people will walk out and continue to study. And if you're teaching Gemara, Talmud, maybe 1 out of 1,000. So if that's true, so the more Talmud we have, the greater probability there'll be people who will continue to learn. And number 3, after number 1, heaven was assumed I didn't be deliberate in judgment. Number 2, Hamid Talmud Harbe, have many students of Asu Siyag LaTorah. We should make a Siyag, a fence, a barrier, so that we don't violate the Torah. Based on the Pasuk, Pashas Achrem, Svayikor Yudches, Ushmar Temes Mishmarti. What does that mean? You should guard my Mishmeret, the double language, make a Mishmeret by Mishmeret, which means we should make Takanos, Gzeros, decrees, certain enactments in order that a person prevent himself from violating the Torah. We know this many cases where the Chachamim made decrees so that we don't violate the Torah. The Avos and Rabbi Nassim says, Asei Siyag Lidvarecha Kiderech Sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyag Lidvarav. What does that mean? You should make a Siyag for your words, for what you do, because Hashem did the same. The Meiri writes like this, Yirili Bibeir, what does that mean? So his Yirili is called Adam Shomer Pischei Pip. A person should be careful what he says, what comes out of his mouth. Bal Yachbid HaShomim Bohem. So people are, it's not too heavy for them. What does that mean? We know, be careful what comes out of our mouth in terms of Lashon Hara, Onas, Devarim. But no, this is V'kol Shekin K'shem Dabar B'Divrei Torah. A person who's speaking Torah, giving a speech, giving a shir, Shelo Yidabar B'Hem El B'Zman HaRo'i, should give it at the right time, the shir HaRo'i, the amount, the length, U'B'Makom HaRo'i Lo, in the right place, U'Dvarim HaRo'i Yom Lo, in Mitzido, in Mitzad HaShomim, for him and for the people listening. And they tell this story about a Chacham Echot, Shoyamarech B'Dvarim Yosem Yidai. He was taking too long. The drasha was too long. The shoe was too long. And they asked him, oh, why you're extending? The bell rang. It's time to leave. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll tell you why. Oh, so this is, he's taking so long to explain something. And therefore, he took much longer. And it was getting boring. So he said, you know, I have to go slowly. I have to go over time. So that the people who are very, very weak should understand what I'm saying too. So, you know, they said back, yeah, but the people who are bright and intelligent and get been disgusted already, and they're so bored. We have to be very careful to balance, know who our audience is. The fact, so what does it mean? Kederech she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu siyag l'dvarav. Hashem made a siyag, we have to make a siyag. It means that just like Hashem gave Torah, mitzvahs, chukim, what we were able to tolerate, what naturally we're able to tolerate. The Torah is given to human beings, and Hashem knew what we can handle, what we cannot handle. So therefore, when we're not supposed to add or subtract from the Torah, so too when it comes to our teaching, should do the same way. Hashem made a siyag for his words, for the Torah. He realizes this is what human beings can tolerate, can handle, and not anymore. So when we teach Torah, we should be able to say, but what can my audience tolerate, and what is going to be too much?